This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
My name is Tracy Schmidt, and I am here with my colleagues, Cynthia Summer and Tracy Regis. And we are really excited to talk to a group of parents here about the project that we've been working on for the last couple of years called Navigate Autism. We want to give you just a brief history of what the project has entailed. I didn't personally know a lot about autism when I started working at the School of Education, but knew that it was a really important special education is really important to the School of Education, and since autism is growing so rapidly, this was an area that we wanted to see what we could do to help support the ecosystem. And so as I started to learn a little bit about autism, I started peeling back the layer, the onion of, you know, who's involved? We've got teachers and pediatricians and service providers and now health insurance companies. And so I thought I had it all mapped out. And as it turns out, I didn't. That was only part of it. Then there was, you know, a bunch of other people that are involved. And I kept thinking, all right, so we have all of these things out there that are sort of helping the ecosystem. Who helps the parents? And we just kept going back to that question, who helps the parents? And so when they're navigating through this system of care, who's educating them on how to make the right decisions for their child, knowing that each situation is unique and each family is unique? And, you know, some families have lots of children. Some families have a couple of children with autism. And so how does the family dynamic work in all of that? So through that, we interviewed about 200 different families, 15 or so service providers, payers, school districts, different associations, regional centers, you name it. We talked to everybody to try to understand what was going on out there and what we could potentially do to help families on this journey. So very excited to tell you that our specific mission for Navigate Autism, this website that we've developed, is our desire to support the system of care by simplifying the coordination and management of autism information, treatment, and services. And we want to do this through a website that personalizes content to your specific needs. And we want it ultimately to be used by all stakeholders, parents, care providers, and payers, so that we basically increase efficiency in the system, maybe reduce stress for families, and provide better information to make more informed decisions. I described the problem a little bit that I was alluding to earlier, but this is basic. If this looks confusing, then the slide came across perfectly, because this is kind of how the system of care really is. You have the child at the center and the parents really trying to manage through all the different service providers and payers, trying to make the right decisions for the child. And there are competing interests. You know, we have some resources that are maybe wanting to mitigate fiscal exposure, that none of the groups are literally required to work together. Oftentimes, places work in silos. And as a result of that, the system is chaotic and there's a ton of confusion. So Navigate Autism, we basically view ourselves in the middle there as a cog among the different wheels that are part of the system of care. And we see our ability to bring together, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. There's lots of wonderful resources out there. We want to make sure you get the right ones for your situation, which may be very different from somebody that lives down the street from you in a similar situation. So we view that Navigate Autism will work with the parents in trying to identify proper resources and information that can then better help their child. So our homepage looks like this. Our prototype is basically, we're in prototype right now, and we are basically have developed a site that is essentially geared for newly diagnosed families initially, because they're just starting their journey. And we think that if we can help set the stage for them early on, as the site grows, we can help families through different transitions in life. So this is our homepage, and you'll see basically what we're trying to do is connect you with autism resources personalized to your family's needs. We focus on understanding, which is critical when you're starting out, navigating the system of care, as well as, you know, organizing all the different things, all the paperwork, all the different service providers and teachers that you'll be interacting with in different associations. So that's basically what our homepage looks like. But what I want to show you right now is a quick video that's just a brief overview of the site.
Hello, I'm Laura Shoemaker. I write an autism blog, and I also advocate for families affected by autism.
I'll never forget the first time the word autism was used to describe my son Matthew. I wanted to learn about what this diagnosis meant, but I had no idea how to get started. Now parents tell me they are overwhelmed with too much information on the web. They wonder who they can trust and which resources are best for their child. That's why I love Navigate Autism. Their website provides helpful tools and personalized information that helps parents and families from the start. Once you visit Navigate Autism's homepage, you'll know you're in good hands. The website provides you with a basic understanding of autism, gives you an overview of the system of care, which treatment, when, and who pays for it, and tools to help you organize your life and keep everything straight from the start. Let's get started. It takes just a few moments to set up an account. Your zip code will help Navigate Autism find resources near you. The dashboard is your personal hub for information, tools, and access to personalized resources, in-depth information about autism spectrum disorders, and will provide you with organizational and support tools, also customized just for you. Your answers to a brief survey will be used to give you resources that are tailored not just for your child with autism, but for your whole family. After you've completed the survey, go back to the Family tab and you will find customized information and resources based on your answers. You can also link back to your family profile at any time to update your answers as your life changes. My favorite feature of the Navigate Autism website, the digital binder. If you've ever even filled out just one form about your child with autism, you'll see what I mean. The binder provides a single hub for you to manage the files and documents associated with your child's diagnosis and enables you to leave the paperwork at home and access your files anyplace, anytime, on your laptop, tablet, or smartphone. You can also create a portfolio to showcase each child with photos, videos, frequently used forms and templates, and personal records that you can access and share on the go. Start a journal to track your thoughts and to record your child's progress over time. Navigate Autism also offers online support groups connecting you with families like yours in your area. You can also connect with other parents with My Activity, just as you would on Facebook. Navigate Autism wants to make sure you find the resources that you need. If you have any questions, shoot them an email. Navigate Autism, connecting you with autism resources personalized to your family's needs.
Just real quickly, I know my time's almost up, but again, we're just in our prototype right now. We'd love to talk with you about the possibility of linking into our website. We finished a beta testing and with about 20 different parents, so we still have some development work to do and some kinks to work out, but we're hoping that we can make this go live for more wide public use in the next few months. We want you to stay in touch with us, so our website is navigate-autism.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @NavigateASD. And as soon as we are, if you do stay in touch with us, as soon as we go live, we'll shoot you an email and let you know that the site's up and running, and we would love for you to log in, start using it, and tell us what you think.
So when I first came here, we had the great curiosity of finding out how to help families to understand about applications, iPad, tablet, AT, AAC, and too many acronyms I couldn't even understand myself. But now we really want to give like a little bit of light, and you know, this, we need some little empirical research on how we can use iPad for promoting interaction and for promoting cooperative game. I really would like to clarify something that in my work with the families, like when we talk about AAC devices, we are not talking about iPads. Okay, so for an iPad to become an AAC device or alternative augmentative device, we need to install the appropriate application. So not all the iPads or tablets can become an augmentative device. So we need to understand, like, we have different applications, either for Android or iPad, iOS system. And if we know how to install them and how to use them properly, then we are having an augmentative device. Otherwise, we are just using the iPad for interaction, games, communication, okay? So, finding information with our families, we found out, like, many of the families were using the iPad just as a cool toy that it is. Sometimes we were managing behavior. Sometimes we were using the iPad as a reward or just as a respite for the families. And that's really fair. And that's really okay if we want to use the iPad for that purpose. But we were wondering, how would it work if we add some learning strategies? How would it work if we teach the families the appropriate applications to install and how to use them properly for communication and interaction, so the children is not anymore playing by himself or herself, but we are sharing a little bit the experience? So we try to design a kind of difficult approach, but I will try to explain. So we will focus all the intervention on the child, and we will provide them with the technological intervention, but we want to really understand what is the child doing. So we want to know about his cognitive profile, his motor skills, what is the stage, the developmental stage he is in, and also how is the family understanding technology within the context. So we want to provide them a program of selected applications that we have been evaluated before. And moreover, we want to personalize the learning and, if possible, incorporate the application and the iPad not only at school but at home. You know, so the parents can be a really, you know, crucial role in their child's education. So about, you know, how are the factors that may lead to the better design of educational applications by developers? We are also in touch with companies, so we are helping some developers to increase the level of competency in educational apps. We are elaborating apps, individualized programs, together with the families. And we are also trying to write and start, you know, giving specific guidelines to parents, therapists, and also to the school. So we developed this randomized control study, and we use the Care Circle application as a platform for coordinating all together. And moreover, we were also tracking data through the parents' report. We are now ending and collecting all the data. So we are being pretty successful with the timing. Let's see how it goes and how are the final data we can summarize. So we know already that we really need to combine treatments. Technology itself is not providing any education or any learning. We need to combine different strategies, and we really need to use it, you know, meaningfully within the family context and also within the schools. Just to give you, like, a short data based on the Joan Ganz Cooney Center, you know, they made a study about how many applications within the educational category were on the market. And we have, like, 500,000 apps in iTunes and 300,000 apps on Android. That's a lot of applications for families to choose. That's too much. So how can we help families to find the best? Just on early learning, we have, you know, a high, almost 50%. And you see, like, the topics are really mixed and not always clear when we want to purchase an application. The price can, you know, really oscillate between $1, around $1, and some of them can reach $200. So before, you know, purchasing an application, we really need to be sure that this is going to be helpful for the child and, moreover, like, the parents know how to use it properly. So I found out this kind of joke the other day, and I thought it was really suitable for the talk. So this is Mulan giving a present to Snow White, and then suddenly Snow White get vanished, and Cinderella said, "Mulan, do you know how she feels about apple? So please don't give her apple, because that can be really, really terrible for her." So I was thinking, like, sometimes we are giving families apple, and they don't know exactly how to manage with that. And that's not fair. So if we are offering them a technique, if we are offering them technology, applications, or any kind of program, they can be done like more, you know, like giving them more like technology, like resources, guidelines, and help and support. So this is the commitment we have as professionals, like provide families with teaching strategies to promote an interactive use of touchscreen devices. And we really want to enhance the communication and train them how to build the basement for scaffolding language development and play, and also including siblings and other family members to promote like a more flexible use of the iPad or any tablet at home. Those are the applications that we have been evaluating in the program, in our study. And I found out really, really useful for families to create folders. So we have been creating folders according to different developmental domains, let's say language, social applications, motor control, some applications just for parents to understand, you know, how to handle behavior, some emotional applications, language applications, and applications just for fun. But having those within the same developmental domain has been really, really helpful. So when we are working through one application, we know what are we working about. These are one of the wheels like sometimes we built for families. So if we want to work on adaptive behavior or learning strategies, sensory apps, we want to design, you know, how much the children needs language or social or sensory apps, so we kind of, you know, get together all the meaningful applications for the children, and we get to review the wheel, you know, over time. So we are completely sure that all the applications are matching the child interest, are matching their educational needs, and also they are developmentally appropriate. So just to summarize, I will really want to give you the message of we really need to be focused on the child. This is one of my wonderful participants, and I'm so happy that she is also here with us. And Samantha, one of the research assistants, so you can see them working, sharing the iPad, sharing the screen, and also using any other ordinary materials like paper and pens and markers, so we can build communication and dialogue through the iPad. So we need to understand like the very best program of applications, the tools we need, the teaching strategies, and the device, the more appropriate device for the child to configure and to create the best teaching environment. And this is just a short example of one of other participant whose mom is going to talk afterwards.
Book.
It's a book.
That's right.
It's a book.
Can you find the boy?
Where?
The boy.
That's great.
You found him.
Okay, we're gonna do two more words.
Okay.
We'll do two more words and then we'll pick another, okay? Look at me. Say okay, Mom.
Okay, Mom.
Okay. So big line down. Curve and curve. B. Say B.
B.
Big line down, big line down,
A.
Little line across.
A.
A. Good. I'm getting a blue. Eli's turn.
Look, it's I can.
Get your. Oh, good. Mommy's turn. Oh. Let's do it. Mommy's turn. Oh, this is so quick. Eli's turn. Oh, that's. Wow. That is quick. Eli's turn. Good job. Mommy's turn. Both.
Ball.
Oh! Let's say it together. Ball.
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 Oh, can we do it again? Let's say ball.
Ball.
Okay. Let's say ball.
Ball.
Yeah! Good job!
So I think it's a wonderful example about how to use the iPad for interaction. And, you know, we were building together across the 16 weeks the active treatment take place. You know, we were building all the applications, matching Eli's interest, and, you know, we got a great teamwork, right? So, yes, thank you very much. Thank you to my mentors that make my learning process possible and all my colleagues. And thank you very much.
Today I'm going to be talking about two different applications that help promote organizational skills and self-determination, can also facilitate the transition into middle school as well as adulthood. So as most of us have personally experienced, and many of us have children and know this secondhand, that middle school is a very challenging time, especially for children with autism. Expectations change during middle school. Teachers have much higher expectations about the level of work the students need to do, being able to track multiple assignments and multiple classes. And students also are entering a somewhat different school system, right? In America, they have multiple classes as well as multiple teachers. So now they're needing to track assignments across different instructors. So students with autism may have difficulty tracking all of their class assignments, and even if they're able to complete their assignments, they often forget to submit them on time, and this is a major issue. So I first want to talk about ePlanner apps, and these can help facilitate that process of learning how to really organize all this schoolwork they're getting and having to deal with multiple instructors. There are many different types of ePlanners. In general, though, they allow students to track when they have class and when assignments are due. It can help them prioritize their assignments. And I think very importantly, you can set reminders for when to turn in assignments. So before they go to class, the reminder goes off and tells them, remember, submit homework number 7. So I'm going to focus on iStudies Pro. This is an ePlanner app. I've selected this one for this talk because it has many of the key functions of an ePlanner. It's won several Best App Ever awards under a variety of categories. And also, I am conducting a study through the Mind Institute and School of Ed, and this is the application we're using to help promote organizational skills in college students with autism. So there are many features. You don't have to read all of these in detail. But there are many features of iStudies Pro, and in general, it allows students to manage their homework and assignments. They can sort their classes and assignments by date, by course, and by priority level. They also can track their grades through this program. So for instance, once a student has submitted an assignment and received the grade, they then can enter it into this program. And it's really great because then this program can estimate their grade in the class. It really helps the student track their progress. It also has notifications, as I mentioned, so you can set reminders to yourself when you need to submit assignments or maybe when you need to attend a class, especially for college students. There is an interactive calendar, and this is very similar to like an iCalendar or Google Calendar, what we've seen, and there are blocks to show you your different classes, and you can color code your classes as well. You can sync this across multiple devices. So let's say you might have a Mac computer as well as an iPad. And so you can pull it up on either device, and the information stays up to date. And it also can be used with more than 25 different languages. Now I just want to give you some quick snapshots of what the application actually looks like. So this is just an example of the weekly overview, okay? And as you probably notice, it does look very similar to like an iCalendar or a Google Calendar. You can see at the top here, here are the different dates. And then under each day, it shows you really the class schedule across time, okay? And this is an example, this yellow block here. That's the student had an English composition class. And if you double-click on it, which has been done, then you get this pop-up box. And that provides you with more details about that particular class. So it tells you the time of the class. It also tells you the days of the class. You can see here it says Tuesday and Thursday. It tells you the instructor's name. And then also if you wrote any specific notes to yourself, for instance, bring textbook to class. So now this is a different view. This is the daily overview, and you can see on the left panel it says today. So this is telling you all the classes that the student has for that particular day. I'm not sure how visible it is to you guys, but there it says past, and then the green one says now, and then the blue one says next. And basically, it's just kind of giving you a timeline where you are in the day. So past, it's already, that class is already passed. Now is a class you're currently in, which is multivariable calculus. And then next is the English composition and film studies class. On the right side are assignments. And for the assignments, you can see here there are some interesting functions. One, you can organize it by priority if you want to. It probably is hard to see, but that little circle right there has two exclamation points in it, and that means the student set it as a high priority assignment. So two exclamation point means really important, don't forget to submit this. So that's the finished final essay draft. Then below that, lab 8 is not very important. It does not have any exclamation points next to it. And then the one beneath that is turn in problem set number 12. You can see there's the green circle with the check mark, and that means the student has already finished the assignment and submitted it. There are many different settings and functions to this. This just kind of gives you a brief overview. For anyone who uses iPad technology or Mac iOS operating systems, this probably looks very familiar to you. So there's the general category where you can change general features. You can change calendar options, how you want the today to display, app icons, grades. So here, what's the A-plus grades that's been selected, and then it gives you all the options that you can change related to grades. Okay, so that's just a brief overview of ePlanner apps, and now we're going to move on to another application. It's called a self-determination application, and this really helps facilitate the transition to adulthood. And you know, this transition is a very challenging period in an individual with autism's life because there are significant changes in their supports and structure. They don't any longer have that high school structure that was present, and oftentimes they lose services too. They might age out of disability services. It's a very difficult time. In addition to that, now expectations have increased. So there are higher expectations for autonomy, for gainful employment, higher education, and being involved in the community. In addition, individuals with autism tend to have challenges with transitioning. So they have difficulty with transition and social communication, which really are core aspects of autism. And then they also are at risk for comorbid mood disorders, so anxiety and depression. So it really can make this transition to adulthood a very challenging time in their life. For this reason, researchers over the last couple of decades have really started focusing on this concept of self-determination and how developing self-determination skills can facilitate this transition to adulthood. So you might wonder, what is self-determination? And this really is a set of skills, knowledge, and beliefs that help students engage in goal-directed, autonomous, and self-regulated behavior. That might sound a little bit abstract. So then I like to also talk about the 7 component skills of self-determination. These involve choice-making, decision-making, goal-setting, problem-solving, self-advocacy or leadership, self-awareness or self-knowledge, and self-management or self-regulation. So as you can see here, these are really key life skills to develop. And there have been some interventions developed for self-determination, and they have been found to be effective for students with disabilities. There haven't really been many studies specifically on autism. They've usually been more on students with intellectual disabilities, learning disabilities, ADHD. Which I should say, we're going to try to do one of the first studies here on it in autism. So I want to now discuss the application for self-determination. It's called It's My Future app. It was designed to support adults with developmental disabilities to become more self-determined and also to be able to participate in their annual planning meetings. The app was developed by AbleLink Technologies and the Kansas University Center on Developmental Disabilities, and the Kansas Center is one of the prime spots in the world that is doing this research on self-determination. And so this application really is stemming from the research that's been done over the last couple of decades. I just wanted to give you a screenshot of what the main screen of the application looks like. You can see it says, It's My Future. And each one of those circles represents a separate video module. So the students can go through these self-paced videos, and it really enables them to learn about these different self-determination concepts. So you can see here that's decision-making. They can also learn about goal-setting, community living, employment, fun and leisure, communicating with my team, so students who might have a training or transition planning team, and then also how to like lead those teams is the last module. And I just wanted to briefly discuss the decision-making module here. So again, each one of these video modules, they're about 10 minutes, give or take a couple of minutes long. They're pretty short, and the student is welcome to watch them as many times as they want. It's also a free download, which is great. But if a student were to look at the decision-making module, this is one of the screenshots from it. And basically, as part of this module, it talks about a mnemonic device to teach students about decision-making. And the mnemonic device is called Do It. Okay? And this actually stems out of research that has come out of Kansas over the last couple of decades. But the D stands for define your problem. So the students are really learning the different stages of decision-making. And O is to outline their options. I is to identify the outcomes. T is to take action, so really make a decision now. And then exclamation point to get excited about the decision you made. So that is the self-determination application. And again, it is a free download. So for anyone who might be interested, you could go download it today just to look at it. I also brought my iPad. If you're interested, you can look at it afterwards. I'll stay up here for a while. And all the applications that I've discussed, I have URLs for each one of them. They are on a printed handout, and the handout is outside, I think, on a couple of those tables, so feel free to grab one before you leave.
My name is Elizabeth Morgan, and I was the also very enthusiastic parent in the video. I've been given the charge and pleasure today to give the parent perspective of being involved in the study that Maria had talked about. So as a parent with a child with autism, I was really cautious and am very cautious when it comes to the interventions that I'm introducing into my child's life. And so when it came to putting together this intervention plan, I really had to think back to when did it all begin. And when I did that, I actually pulled up a journal entry or a blog entry that I did on October 15th, 2011. And it reads as this. My son Eli was diagnosed with autism on November 9th, 2010, at 2 years, 5 months of age. And now, nearly 1 year later, we as a family have endured the many pains of growing into our new identity. We were no longer going to be the family that we thought we were going to be or become the family that we thought we would become. We could also no longer actually believe that life would be good and easy as we were facing the fact that we had to fight our way through this journey. After receiving this diagnosis, I remember feeling restless and wanting to find a way to slay the dragon called autism, yet found myself paralyzed when making the necessary decisions to implement programming. I think it was because of the plethora of treatment options and expert opinions that I came across. Just a simple search in my search engine for autism will produce hundreds and thousands of articles that range from cures to grim death sentences. I just didn't know where to start. I'm an educator and have been on dozens of IEP teams, but now I'm going to be on the other side of the table. I am hopeful, yet afraid. So, when it was time to select interventions for our son, it really was both a very scary and intimidating process. And trying to find an effective treatment plan, I really pulled upon my experience of being an educator. I knew I needed to pull upon his strengths and look at his interests to be able to help compensate in the areas that he had challenges. So what my husband and I did early on is we put together a vision statement. I'm just going to read to you, and this is something that we revisit from time to time, but this was something that we knew that we needed to do when it came to really organizing and coming up with our thoughts about how would we go about the task of having intervention for our son. So just a brief excerpt states this, and we read this to all of our IEP teams. This is how we begin our IEPs. Eli is an intelligent, funny, and inquisitive child. He loves to play with cars, sing, and play musical instruments. But most of all, he loves to antagonize his big sister. We want Eli to function as a typical child, able to deal with independently with novel situations, be flexible with his routines, interact and communicate appropriately with peers, and have a few close friends that he sees regularly outside of school. Our goal for him is to use his charismatic personality and spirit to develop leadership skills and become a strong contributor to his community. Our hopes and expectations for Eli are high, yet practical. And as a team, we hope to come up with the programming in order to be able to meet his needs in an appropriate fashion. So when I learned about the opportunity to take part in the iPad intervention, I was very excited. I was, like I said, very cautious at first about even introducing the iPad into Eli's life because I really didn't want it to be something that he would perseverate on, or it'd be something that it would end up becoming another thing that I'd have to unlearn some behavior regarding. So I really knew that I would need some training in order to be empowered to be able to introduce such a tool. So when I heard about the study and was able to take part in, I was simply overjoyed. And as we went through the study, you could see from the video that not only did Eli grow, but I grew as a parent and as a facilitator in his educational process. He continued to truly wow me every week that we were in the study. And it was very special to me when he would come up to me and wake me up in the morning and say, Mom, Eli, Mommy, iPad time. Eli, Mommy, iPad time. That was something that I look forward to every morning. I really grew in admiration as I witnessed him growing in such executive functioning skills as response inhibition. His working memory was growing, and his flexibility. So the very things that we were hoping to see in him, we were seeing happen in front of our very eyes. And I really felt empowered as a parent to be able to use this tool. And in fact, as a matter of fact, we're going to be implementing it in his school routine and already use it in other therapy routines to really help get him more excited and be a part of the learning process. But in closing, Eli really loves his iPad so much that we see this this particular picture. The story behind it is this: he's now in kindergarten. He is fully included in a general ed kindergarten class, and this was his career day. And the question was asked, Eli, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, well, I want to make video games. So this is him. I was able to figure out a way to make a badge protector, and he is Eli Morgan, video game programmer. So I thank you for your time.
Do you have a list of the apps you used in your study? Like one for learning, one for social, one for motor functions?
Yeah, we have it. Actually, there are a couple of guides outside as well. So you can either wrap up, you know, one of the guides. I don't know if there are all of them, but I guess, like I was talking to Terry before, and maybe we can, you know, upload all of them in the website. So yeah, there will be a really great bunch of application, and I'm working on the actualized list right now, so we will be providing that. But outside, you have already a lot of them.
Is the Navigate Autism going to be a free service, or is it going to be like a subscription?
It is going to be free for parents, and we are working on a way to make it sustainable so that it can stay in existence for everybody. We're talking with insurance companies right now and some other folks to try to figure out how to make that happen.
I think this question might be for Maria. I'm curious about, in your study, the parent training component. How many hours did you spend with the parents, and how did you kind of coach them to be able to use the iPad?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. We had two modalities, actually, like online and local. So there were families, like, they were being training online, and some of them, they were coming every week as Elizabeth came. So we spent,
16 sessions across the 16 weeks. So at the very beginning, we were divided, like, from session 1 to 4 was like kind of an introductory training. So we were using the iPod, you know, training them on the guided access, how to customize all the features in the iPod so they can manage different behaviors. And then we were also, some families, they knew a lot of things about Apple Store, how to install applications, how to delete applications, how to make folders, but some other they didn't. So we did a training of, you know, simple movements around the iPad. And from lesson 5 to 10, we were implementing the core program of applications. So there were some applications that I was introducing at the very beginning based on the children levels. But then we were building together the program with the family regarding their needs and the child needs. You know, and as Elizabeth was telling before, if some application eventually became repetitive, we also needed to manage that. Okay, so we were building different objectives across the sessions, and we were also using Care Circles application, that is a free application also for communicating and writing down some goals and learning techniques. And then at the end of the study, I was kind of just training a little bit families to be more independent on how to look for applications, the best website and blogs for, you know, finding reviews. And that's how, in general, we did.
Hi, again, a question for you, Maria. What were your outcome measures for the study, and was it all subjective, or were you doing objective measures?
So the outcome measures, what we were doing was like we were assessing the children, baseline, follow-up number 1, and follow-up number 2. So there were some tests specifically, you know, we were trying to assess language. And if they were in the academic learning yet, we were assessing also literacy, writing, and reading. If they were toddlers, we were just doing language. And then we have parents' report on, you know, some, you know, severity scores about autism and communicational scales. And then families were tracking every time that they were doing any session at home through Care Circles. You can, you know, also introduce tracking. So they were tracking the duration, attention, motivation, and different levels that we decided to include. So that way, we were having also a really accurate feedback about how the family was doing at home and how the child was developing across the different sessions.
Hi, my name is Steve. I'm a psychiatry resident, and I do a lot of research in mobile health technology as well. And I think this is very fascinating. My particular question is for Dr. Oswald, you know, regarding the collaboration that you've done with these other companies. Has it been difficult to seek out these collaborations and establish those ties, or and especially within a University of California structure, how has that been like for you?
So the application iStudies Pro, it's used on Mac operating systems, iOS, and Mac actually came to us and wanted us to conduct a study. So that's how it initially got. It began, and then they gave us the freedom to decide what we wanted to study, and they actually came to Student Affairs at UC Davis, who is linked in with the Disability Center on campus, and I'm connected with the Disability Center through another study, and when they heard that there might be funding for a project, they immediately kind of pulled me in on it, and then I was able to determine the direction of the project. And just based on prior research, I knew one of the main areas for students where they really need help right now, middle schoolers and high schoolers and college students, is really planning and organization. And that's why I decided to use the ePlanner. We are going between developing an app, which seemed beyond our ability level and our financial funding, or finding apps that already exist. That's how that got started. If you are interested in that question, though, I think Tracy's had to interact a lot with technology, reaching out. So I think she would be a good person to talk to.
So we've reached out to everybody in the technology world, it's been very interesting. What we were really trying to avoid was recreating wonderful tools that already existed, and instead really be a clearinghouse for things that are out there. So in talking with companies that were autism focused specifically, lots of really great conversations about, boy, we may have a venue where we could showcase what you're offering. And then companies that weren't necessarily focused specifically on autism, but technology companies like a Cisco, who may have a very, actually they do have a large population of engineers who either have autism or have children who have autism. So Cisco is particularly interested in working with companies that want to support their employees. They actually were one of the first companies that offered an autism-specific benefit to their employees prior to health insurance being required to pay for it. So there's probably 10 technology companies, most of whom are in the Silicon Valley, and then one on the East Coast that I've been not able to uncover the exact name of yet, but we're working on it. But they're super open, particularly when we call and say, we're from the University of California, we want to help families, we're working on this project, is there, you know, are you interested in talking with us? And we've probably had 10 or 15 different meetings with potential partners. We just need to finish getting our ducks in a row. But every time we've reached out, we've had a really positive response. Does that answer? Okay, yeah. I mean, and if you're interested in, you know, specifics, we'd be happy to meet with you and share with you, you know, some of the folks that we've talked to. Make introductions if you'd like.
The UC Davis Mind Institute was created in 1998 with a promise to find cures for neurodevelopmental disorders. Every day, our physicians and researchers come closer to fulfilling that promise. Their groundbreaking research on autism, Fragile X syndrome, chromosome 22q11.2 deletion syndrome, ADHD, and other brain disorders are helping children achieve their fullest potential. Please visit our website to find out more about current studies, upcoming events, and how you can help make a difference.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.